I was a soldier, then a veteran, a husband, and a father. And with my VA home loan, I'm a homeowner. No down payment required and no PMI. Build your future with the VA home loan. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for this hyper amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I'm Jason.
And I am John.
Brother John's going to say a prayer. We'll get this thing going.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come together and just to think about you a little bit, Father. Just we want to surrender this whole thing to you. We want to surrender ourselves to you, surrender our thoughts to you, our tongues to you, and just allow whatever it is that you want to come out of it, to come out of it, Father. And whoever's listening, Father, we just want to lift them up to you and whatever things that they may be ailing with, Father, that you are interceding on their behalf. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Whew. Okay. Only sports I have to talk about is freaking stupid NASCAR.
So I watched like 20 laps of that last race in Chicago. Is that the one you're talking about? That was weird. That's weird.
I hope none of our fans are Kyle Larson fans, but I'd never have been so pleased as to watch him hit the wall.
Well, our brother is a Kyle Larson fan. But
that's what he gets for putting my boy in the wall last week. So,
right. Yeah. The other positive news is the Rangers are starting to play a little better. I think they're 6-4 in their last 10. Have played some solid teams. They struggled a little bit against San Diego, but turned around and swept Tampa, which is good. They're kind of starting to get an offensive stride going into the All-Star break, because that has been their biggest problem. Honestly, the one or two offense of they were either the first or second best offense all year last year is like the 16th or 17th offense right now. Yeah, that's been our biggest problem, just offensive production. And you don't expect that with Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, Adolis Garcia, you know, Nate Lowell. Yeah. Nate Lowell has 4 home runs. It's almost All-Star break. This is a 25 home run hitter. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, he hit 2 one in the first game against San Diego. I was like, okay, you went from 4-6 in one night. Good job, dude. But Wyatt Langford is starting to show he is that guy. Sounds like Evan Carter, Josh Young potentially back after the All-Star break. Yeah. And then Jacob DeGrom's coming. Too. So without him, the pitching staff has performed fairly well. Our bullpen still same as last year, struggles.
Yeah.
So, but we don't know if they're going to be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline. It's hard to say. I almost wonder if you, because Scherzer's on the last year of his deal. He's 40. Why don't you go, if you're not going to make a push for it this year, go ahead and trade him, see what you can get back in return.
Yeah.
Why not? You're going to have DeGrom for a while.
Scherzer's been hurt.
He's pitching right now. He's pitched 3 or 4 games now. He's done well. He's looked good. So, you know, get what value you can out of it. I don't know. I'm not saying we should or shouldn't. I'm just saying possible.
Yeah.
Why not if we're not going to make a push for playoffs and World Series contention this year?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, why not? Yeah, get what you can get back and then.
See, and then add that to next year's pot. See what we got. So that's all the sports I got to talk about too.
Cool.
What else you got on your mind? Anything specific?
No, not necessarily. I've had some notes written down here for the last couple of weeks, but we kind of got into some discussions and never really kind of got a chance to bring any of it back to this. You know, kind of run out of time.
Okay.
But like I talked to you a couple times about dreams.
Yeah.
You know, like kind of the effect they have, because I've told you that I've had like evil dreams, like not necessarily me doing something evil, but like
evil things happening.
Yeah, like I had a very realistic dream, like I was inviting, demons in. Like I woke up freaking out, started praying immediately because I was like, no, they're not welcome here. Please don't.
You know? Yeah.
So I didn't know kind of what the what the book has to say, or if there's any biblical scriptures.
It's interesting. It's interesting that you kind of bring that up, because Dad and I were talking about this earlier today. My dad and I were talking about this earlier today because he had an interesting dream, and you know, take it for what it is. You know, we've talked about intrusive thoughts and wet dreams before. You know, like a sexual nature dreams and stuff like that, and kind of brought up that like. There is scripture, there is basis in scripture that God will speak to you through dreams. But we also have to understand when God is speaking to us.
Yeah.
If it doesn't come with peace, because God is always peace, Jesus is always peace.
Yeah.
If it doesn't bring peace, then that's not from him.
Yeah.
Right? If it causes you fear, anxiety, shame, any of those kinds of things, that's not from God. So we have to be careful with that. We also know that there is an unseen world that we don't understand.
Yeah.
Right? We know that there's things happening that we cannot possibly see. So it reasons that there are things in the unseen world that, almost did it, mess with us. Yeah. that will mess with us and can implant thoughts, visions, things like that. So I also think that there are demonic spirits, and sometimes they do try to come enter into us if we have space for them to come in. And it's good that maybe God was giving you a warning so that you could be like, hey, I need to pray that out. You're not welcome here. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because we do need to speak to those. We need to speak to those spirits, and like, you are not welcome in this body, not in this house, not in this temple. You know what I mean? So maybe that's what it's for. I do know that there is some scriptural evidence. I don't know if you remember our friend from anonymous friend who sent us a scripture a while back when we were talking about the sexually explicit dreams, where it shows that God speaks to us through dreams. If I could remember where that was, I would pull it up. I don't remember where it was. I'm looking at, what I'm actually looking at is a slow computer that's being a pain in my rear right now.
There you go right there.
Okay, so that's in Matthew 1:20. An angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph in a dream, right? This is after Mary was told that she's conceived of the Holy Spirit. She's going to give birth to Jesus. She's unmarried. Joseph and her clearly have not done anything in the physical nature for her to become pregnant. And he's like, you know, well, I'm going to do the nice thing. I'm not going to shame her in public, but I'm going to break it off with her. And then the angel comes to him in his dream and says, don't do that. Here's what's going on. And like explains it to him. So again, there's evidence there that God will come to us on our dreams and share wisdom. Right. And again, did he bring turmoil? No, he brought peace. Right. So I think that's where we have to be real cautious about how we think about those things, right? Sorry, everything's running slow today.
No, you're good. And then we talked about this life in sin is death.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that conversation?
Yeah.
And freedom in Jesus, freedom is Jesus, and knowing the debt is already paid.
Yes. It's the basis of everything. The basis of this entire relationship, right, is to know that you are already, the debt has already been paid in full. Again, there's scripture to back that up too, that the full debt has been paid. Let's find that, because I need to tell people where to find this. It's Colossians. Okay, it's because we read Colossians. I don't know if in our men's group. Which I want to bring up, we're considering having everybody from our Bible study in our men's group on the podcast, which could potentially be a train wreck, but I actually think it would be really interesting.
Yeah, I don't think you have to. I don't think you can consider it a train wreck. I mean, it's experimental. It's an opportunity for everybody to kind of get to know our whole group.
I would say we will not do what we normally do in that group, which is sit and I read the Bible and we discuss what's going on.
Yeah.
You were dead. Colossians 2:13, you were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. 14, he canceled the record of the charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. Man, that's the New Living Translation. You listen to the English Standard Version. By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. You know what I mean? It's been paid. It's been paid.
But now, okay, so look at the King James Version.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, that's law against us, which was contrary to us, so it's against us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross, right?
That's so hard to understand.
It really is not very easy to understand, clearly. That's why I prefer the new NLT. New International Version. Having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, this means we're legally indebted, right, which stood against us and condemned us, he has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Yeah. There's other scripture in Isaiah saying, I will remember their sin no more. Or actually, I think it's said in multiple places. We're going to have to find that too. This one's in Hebrews 8:12. Hopefully I don't have to chase it down. Let's find the NLT version. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Now, but you know who I am. I don't like to cherry pick a scripture.
Yeah.
So let's see what's going on around that. Hebrews 8:12.
Yes, sir.
This will open up the whole thing so we can see the whole verse. Okay. Starting in verse 7. Let's go through that whole stretch there.
Okay.
If the first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no need for a second covenant to replacement. So we're literally talking about Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah.
If the Old Testament had no flaw, then there would be no need for Christ, right? And there's another scripture we talked about recently in either Galatians or Colossians that I will not make Christ's sacrifice be
in vain,
or it not
well,
yeah,
worthless,
in, or in yeah. worthless, yeah. invalid, pointless, right? I hate that I can't remember what it said now, but when God found fault with people, he said, "The day is coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and Judah. This covenant will not be like the one I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt." It's talking about the Jews coming out of Egypt. "They did not remain faithful to my covenant, so I turned my back on them," right? This is, they weren't able to hold up to it. And because in the old covenant, it was do it or don't,
yeah.
he had no choice but to turn his back, right? That's what he's trying to tell you. But this is the new covenant I will make with the people of Israel on that day. "I will put my laws in their minds and I will write them on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people. And they will not need to teach their neighbors, nor will they need to teach their relatives, saying, 'You should know the Lord.' For everyone from the least to the greatest will know me already. And I will forgive their wickedness and I will never again remember their sins." When God speaks of a new covenant, it means he has made the first one obsolete. It is now out of date, and it will soon disappear.
Yeah.
Bro, when you think about the law, just think about our law. Think about standard everyday law out there in the world.
Yeah.
I guarantee you we all break it. Daily.
Yeah.
Traffic laws.
Yeah. Speeding. Seatbelts for me.
Seatbelt laws.
Seatbelts.
Yeah. Substances.
Phone.
Any kind of phone while you're driving.
Yeah.
You know? Any number of things. And laws are so stringent on certain types, like harassment laws. I don't know if you understand harassment. Like,
yeah.
Sexual harassment really literally just means that you made somebody uncomfortable. It's real easy to make. I can make you feel uncomfortable without saying anything dirty. You yeah. know what I'm saying? I made you uncomfortable? Huh? Don't give me those tender loving eyes. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like
licking
that's
your fingers.
Yeah. We got the crying game going on in the background. But you see, you get what I'm saying. Yeah. The point is the law was too strong. It was too much for us anyway, right? And I think going back to if you listen to our Bible roulette, there was already a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. There was already a plan in place, right? And all he requires of us is to seek after him. Pray to him wholeheartedly. Seek after him. Again, this can't be lip service. You can't fool God.
Yeah.
You can't.
No, he knows.
He knows. There's no faking this. None.
You can walk the walk and talk the talk, but he still knows the difference.
That's right. So I'm always very cautious with the people that we get involved with in groups, in this, people that come to this. They have to know, like, this is no joke. We play around,
yeah,
but this is not a joke
yeah.
to us, right? We take this very seriously.
We try to get all the jibber-jabber and the joking and playing out of the way before we start recording.
Yeah,
that was awkward.
Well, we're grown men who have full-time lives, yeah. man. It's hard not to get a half-yawn speaking there sometimes.
Dang.
It's not because you're bored. That's the good news. Mm. But, yeah. You know, again, I don't think it's wrong for us to have fun with this. We have fun with it, and that's good.
Yeah.
But the truth of the matter is even though we do playfully do things.
Banter.
It's still very, very real and very, very serious. I'm not joking around when I talk about how much I love God. I'm not joking around when I'm talking about how much I believe that this is the right path, right? That he is the only way.
Yeah. He is the only way.
He's the only way.
Yeah.
And, bro, am I going to be perfect while walking the walk? No, I'm not.
If you actually are, even if you're trying to pretend your way, make it or fake it, basically,
yeah,
you still are practicing the activities, the prayer, the good behavior.
Yeah.
You're still practicing all these activities. At that, even you have to know that,
yeah,
that it's the only, he's the only way,
right?
You know what I mean?
Do you remember the scripture we were talking about? I think we talked about it last week when we had Aiden in, and it was after our men's Bible study talking about there's this part of Colossians. Was Colossians the last one we did, or was it Galatians?
Which one did we do? Because we did
Those back to back.
One in men's and one in Wednesdays.
No, we did them both on
men's. Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Now, we took some.
Because I have Galatians wrote down too.
Yeah. One of those books in the scripture, Paul starts talking about these pious sacrifices and like making all these self sacrificing things and stuff like that, and like literally saying it means nothing.
You know? Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
Gosh, darn it.
Yes.
I'll see if I can find it. I think we actually read it.
Galatians.
I think we read it last week with Aiden. Or not last week. 2 weeks ago with Aiden. Self-denial. Colossians.
Oh, dang.
Thought you had it.
I thought I did.
Okay. Well, that's not going to help. Let's find it over here. This little messy stuff that we're doing here, I'll clean all that up. Was that Colossians 2:18?
Oh, I didn't.
It's right there.
Oh. I was wondering how you knew where you were going. I was like, dude, I don't see it on the freaking screen nowhere. Like, what do you mean keep saying all this stuff? I'm
okay.
Like, where?
So don't let anyone condemn you for what you eat or drink, for not celebrating certain holy days or new moon ceremonies or Sabbaths. For these rules are only shadows of the reality yet to come, and Christ himself is that reality. Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or worship of angels, saying they have had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected to Christ, the head of the body, for he holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments and grows as God nourishes it. The next sentence, or actually the last, we got to finish it. You have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of the world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? Such rules are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they do require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline.
Yeah.
But they provide no help in conquering a person's evil desires.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, think it provides doing all of these things, denying yourself of all this stuff, literally working so hard to keep yourself from doing all these things does nothing to help you conquer your evil desires. Yeah. So why? You know what does help you conquer your evil desires? Jesus Christ.
Yep. He is the way.
And the truth.
And the light.
That's it. That's it.
I like that little thing right there we just did.
That was pretty cool.
Awesome.
Now we're finishing.
I can't believe I didn't fall apart.
You held it together. I'm proud of you, bro.
Usually, when it comes to that kind of stuff, I kind of drop the ball.
No. You're on the path, and you keep on the path. So I did have something, and I appreciate you, man. Those are good things to talk about, and I think that they can lead into and kind of that conversation continue to come around.
It's just I'd talked to you about it, and we never have really gotten a chance to kind of bring that up. And
I wanted to
really tired of seeing the notes sitting here.
So I was on vacation last week, and you know, and anybody who follows us on TikTok, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, I put out daily verses. And I put out the daily verse for Bumper Sticker Wisdom. I put out the verse about Christ saying, okay, so there was a time when Jews were under Roman rule where a Roman soldier could come to a Jewish person and say, hey, you got to carry my crap for a mile. Right. And it says a mile. And Christ says, carry it too. Right. So I posted that scripture and somebody replied through our TikTok, I believe it was, it was either TikTok or YouTube. I can't remember exactly. But he called into question the fact that the word mile or the distance of a mile wasn't even a thing that was in existence at the time. So he was questioning that was even a valid scripture. And I replied to them and told them, hey, you know, I appreciate you for
pointing that out
and all that kind of stuff. But I also told them, if you wanted to hear how we thought about it, to listen to episode 30, which is today. At the same time, my wife and I were driving down the road, and she's in a Bible study group or a study group where they have a book that they're reading.
Yeah.
And she wanted me to listen to it with her so we could kind of discuss while we were driving. And I did. And she said some things that kind of were right in line with my thoughts on this. And I kind of want to read it to you. I feel bad because I actually don't know the name of the book or the author.
Yeah.
But I'm going to share it because I think that what happens is this is a legalistic thing, right? I want, just listen closely to what her response here is or what she's saying. It says, as a new believer who was preoccupied with doing the right things, back it up. I got to read this scripture to you first. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. away from me, evildoers, right? We've talked about this scripture before.
Yes, sir.
This is her now. As a new believer who was preoccupied with doing the right things, this passage was like God had sent a message just for me saying, hey, that performing thing you did before you knew me, it doesn't work here. It means nothing at all. In fact, it won't get you very close to me, and it won't garner favor. It'll just draw you away from my love. Anything you don't do out of love is no good to me. I want to be with you, not just be served by you, which is an interesting thought. I knew I was performing when I first read these words in the good book of Matthew. I knew I was trying to earn God's love. I wanted to be the good Christian, the serious one who was steeped in theology and knew the Greek and Hebrew translations of every word. God saw that I was more consumed with using his power to earn the love of others and less concerned with helping people see his tenderness as a reflection of his love for them. Yeah. And the reason that jumped out to me is because if all you can see is the fact that the measurement for a mile or a word
wasn't even a term back then, yeah,
you're missing the entire point of what Christ was trying to say.
Yeah.
And you're so focused on the theological detail that you're actually missing loving people.
Don't focus on the matter of fact. Mm-hmm. Focus on like the hypothetical. You know what I mean?
What is Christ saying to you right there? Yeah. He's saying go the extra.
Yeah, help him.
Go further. Yeah. Just because you disagree with them doesn't mean you shouldn't love them. Just because you disagree with the rule doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't do it out of reverence for me.
Yeah.
Right? God's word says to do everything as though you're doing it for me, not for mere mortals, not for humans. So when you're serving others in that way and you're going the extra mile, look, God knows what injustice is too.
Yeah.
You think he doesn't know?
Yes, of course he does.
You know? You think he doesn't know that that's wrong, that you shouldn't have to?
Yeah.
He does, but he also sees your heart. You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
He sees what you're willing to do. Are you willing to serve him? Are you willing to do God's will willingly? Right? We talk about this over
the one thing that we keep saying that we're going to do.
Well, we keep doing it. Yeah. Very well sometimes, but we keep doing it.
We just hit rough patches here and there due to personal enjoyment and entertainment, whatever, you want to say it, but
I just wanted to make sure that hopefully that person does listen, and I want them to, I'm welcome. Hey, listen, whoever you are, I don't know your username. I wouldn't put it out there anyway. If you're listening, I welcome the conversation. I welcome the question. I hope that you're a believer and you're not just doing it to try to discourage people. Because if you are a real believer and that's who you are, that's okay. We need people who understand it that deeply.
Yeah.
But if you're going to allow that to affect your relationship, you're missing the point.
Yeah.
Jesus rose from the dead. He appeared.
That was really cool.
After Jesus rose from the dead.
Yeah.
By the way, don't do that. We've talked about this gentleman a couple times. He's been with George Janko. He stands on college campuses and has intellectual conversation. I love it when people actually will engage in conversation and not just try to, you know, beat him down and fight with him. You know what I mean? And like actually have real conversation with them.
Bulldog their beliefs.
Yeah. And I think it's very interesting and it's helpful. But the idea that Jesus never said, I am the Son of God. Right? Or I am God. He talks about that, and he had a very I'm not well versed enough in order to argue with people in that way. This man is very intellectual. He spent a lot of time studying.
It's the guy that talks about in Sodom and Gomorrah or whatever, the sulfur balls.
Mm-hmm.
Is that him? The guy that talks about them finding the sulfur balls in the area where Sodom used to be.
Yeah. And it's the most pure sulfur found on the earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find it because I want it to be the right one, and I don't want to waste my time. Okay. I actually think this is actually it. We're going to give it a shot. I'm not – it's Phil Connect or Nettle or something of that nature. I'm not real sure. I can't – it's K-N-E-C-H-T-L-E. You tell me what that says. Let's go ahead and let him have this conversation. Somebody asks him, did Jesus ever claim to be God? Okay.
Did Jesus ever claim to be God?
Yeah, he sure did. Yes. John 8:58, Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. In John 10:30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. In John 14:9, Jesus says, he who has seen me has seen the Father. Clearly, Jesus claimed to be God.
So he was both human and God at the same time?
That's what he claimed.
The prophet.
Well, he claimed to be God in human form, which means he's more than a prophet. He's God in human form.
Okay, that's not exactly the one.
God is something that's superior to human form, so it doesn't make sense for God to be human because he wouldn't necessarily be.
He explained in this video I'm thinking of about John 8:58, I believe it was, when he says, I am, about why that is significant, right? Yeah. Because the conversation is.
All right, first point is God is not something.
Sorry. I don't know how to do this without doing all that. He was making the point about the I am statement, right? And how there was no disillusion or misunderstanding between the Jewish people and Jesus because of the way he said I am and I am being.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the God statement, I am God. And I wanted to bring that out, but unfortunately. Okay. This is the one. This is with George Janko, actually. Let's try this one more time.
Let's hear it.
I'm wasting everybody's time.
No, you're not.
Yeah, it's our time anyway.
Before Abraham was born, I am. Now, the Jews did not call God G-O-D. The Jews called God
Adonai.
Yahweh.
Oh, I thought it was Adonai.
Yes, also Adonai and El Shaddai. Those are different names for God.
Got it.
And one of them was Yahweh, which is the Hebrew verb to be. I am who I am. There was no misunderstanding. The Jews picked up stones to stone him for blasphemy. Before Abraham was born, I am. Deliberately, Christ is claiming to be God. Then in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one.
Okay, did you catch that on John 8:58? Before Abraham was born, I am.
Yeah.
Right? And Yahweh meaning...
I am.
Essentially meaning yeah. I am, right? And yeah. like, dude, that's a, that understanding is different, right?
Yeah.
Having that level of understanding is different than what we're arguing on this other thing. You're taking an inconsequential conversation about distance traveled to mean that this is not a valid scripture. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And in this particular case, he's trying to tell you understanding the word this way helps you understand why him saying before Abraham was even born, I am, means I am God.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a whole different level of understanding. And I don't have that. He taught me that. But I think that we have to remember, too, that.
What is the John verse, though?
8:58, I believe. Let me grab it. Let's go look at it.
Is it because was that over? Is the video over?
He was moving on to the I can press play. Hang on. Gosh darn, John.
Because it sounded like he was kind of getting into something else too.
No misunderstanding. They didn't think, oh, I see. This guy's a Hindu. He thinks everybody's part of God, so he's claiming that and the Father are one.
Nope.
John chapter 10 verse 30. Jesus says, I and the Father are one. No misunderstanding. They didn't think, oh, I see, this guy's a Hindu. He thinks everybody's part of God, so he's claiming that we're all a part of God. No, no, no. Jesus was a monotheistic Jew who understood God is one. The Shema of Israel, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor yourself. And very deliberately, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. By claiming to forgive the sins of a man he'd never probably seen before, Jesus is claiming to be God.
So... I only looked for that and wanted to share it with you because of the conversation we had had previously about it. And, you know, wanting to kind of, you asked me that question, and I hate whenever you ask me a question, or any of you in that are in my sphere of influence, ask me a question and I don't necessarily have an answer. I can't just say it's because I believe that, because that doesn't hold water, right?
Yeah.
I want to be able to show you biblically why I believe that. And we're supposed to be able to defend this.
With the knowledge that we've read about.
Right. Yeah. And that's why last night, whenever we got together, I wanted to challenge all of us to be more diligent and committed to spending time in our Bibles, right?
Well, because if you think about it, an outside view, you interpret things different than I do. Of course, I don't interpret very well at all, unless I'm reading it while you're reading it, and then I pick it up crystal clear. But you get another point of view that makes a huge difference. I mean, you get another angle on it. You know what I mean?
Which is why we invite people to question with us and add to our conversation, and we invite people into the room to have conversation with us, because we want other perspectives. We know that the way we see things isn't the only way, you know what I mean? And I know that I'm not the most biblically scholared person here. I'm going off of life experience and things that I've learned, in order for us to grow, we have to be challenged.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But what truthfully, the reason I brought that up last night too was the rule of 100, right? We talked a little bit about the rule of 100 being about,
if you spend 100 hours a year doing anything.
Yeah, you spend 100 hours.
Discipline or anything, you're going to be better than 95% of the population. Yes.
The rule being, the rule is, if you spend 100 hours on any discipline of any kind, you'll be beyond 95% of the whole world's population in that discipline or whatever.
Yeah.
If it's boxing, if it's guitar playing, if it's golf, if it's, you know, whatever, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, and really all it boils down to is 18 minutes a day. And the reason that I brought that up to me is because I think that we all get caught up in our lives and say, well, I don't have time for that. You know what I mean? I want to read my...
Yeah, we have time.
We all have the same amount of time a day.
18 minutes. It's 18 minutes.
18 minutes. I'm sure I can squeeze 18 minutes out of something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Heck, recently you were talking about, you know, having to give up, wanting to give up certain, like, TikTok and stuff like that because you felt like it was sucking so much of your time away, right? And it's like, when you think about it, like, 18 minutes? Bro, I spend way more time than that on TikTok. I can surely sacrifice 18 minutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? 18 minutes is nothing. I got 18 minutes of toilet time a day. Easy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And
be kind of awkward sitting there with your Bible in your hand.
You don't have to take the actual Bible with you.
I know. I'm being metaphorical. Literal, I guess you'd say.
It might be a little awkward, but I mean, what are they going to say? You know what I mean? Like, hey, dude, you can't read your Bible while you're on the crapper. You're like, come on, man.
What do you got in that?
God's word. That's what I got in there. I just wanted to bring it up because I think that, for one, it challenges me. You know that I love to play guitar. Obviously, if you ever see in this room, you see him hanging all over the place. You know that I love sports. You know that I like to write. You know that I like a lot of things. But man, what's more important?
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding.
What's more important? And I'm not saying that those things are wrong, but this is how I understand things becoming sin, right?
Yeah.
Because, bro, are your eyes killing you? There's drops right there.
Freaking dying right now.
There's eye drops. Yes. I'm like, bro, you okay?
This one's the one that's killing me.
If you think about it, though, it's like, how do things become sinful? It's when they take your focus away, right? And it's not that you shouldn't enjoy anything or enjoy life, and everything doesn't have to always be business and all that. Is that burning? Yeah. It looks like it. You look like Popeye the Sailor Man right now. Yeah. For all you Gen Zers that are listening to us, nobody knows what that is anymore.
My kid didn't even know who. Sorry. My kids didn't even know who Dennis the Menace was.
No.
Dead serious. I'm hey, like, Mr. I failed
as a father. I was talking about
come on.
When he had the silly putty.
Oh. Or no, it was, what was it? Remember he flips it up, it somehow shoots out of the air and it lands on the grill?
Yep.
Yeah, he's all, he glues the chiclets in his dentures. I was trying to talk to my kids about this, and my kids are looking at me like I'm freaking crazy.
You're speaking Japanese at this point. Yeah. Dude. Oh, come on.
Yeah, I have failed as a father. My kids don't know who Dennis the Menace is.
God, that's awful. Dang. Yeah, I don't know what you got. I don't know if you got some dust off the table or something, but.
It started bothering me about 10, 15 minutes ago.
Yeah, started noticing that. Yeah. It's red. Yeah. It's awful red.
Yeah, it's deep.
Again, I don't think it's wrong for us to have hobbies or to spend time doing other things and that kind of stuff.
Or enjoy life's pleasures.
No. I mean, those things, God put them there for that too, right? But again, is it okay, let's ask this question. What are we sacrificing when we choose to avoid spending time in God's word? And what are we sacrificing when we choose to take away 18 minutes from something else that we're spending our time doing, such as play guitar, right?
We're sacrificing a lot.
Yeah.
By not, you know, engaging in the word like we would engage in other activities. We're sacrificing a tremendous amount.
Right.
You're looking at eternity.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And the salt shaker effect.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you pay attention to those two little grains in this life, and then you have the entire salt shaker left that is the rest of your life, and you're focused on those two little granules of salt, those two little, not necessarily guilty pleasures, but those two little human activities.
The things that are for the here and now.
Tangible things, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That you're not even, I mean, there's no guarantee you'll be able to play a guitar in heaven.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
I'm pretty sure there's not going to be no NFL. You know what I'm saying?
Probably. College sports are gone. Hockey's gone.
All sports are really gone. I mean, unless it's like, I mean, I don't know if we'll be able to fish.
I don't know.
But, I mean, I'm pretty sure there ain't going to be no race cars on a track.
I'm pretty sure all things of dude, the suction of air coming by is so crazy. But, I mean, seriously, look, it's not wrong to enjoy the things of this life completely. But we do have to challenge ourselves to question the fact, what are we spending our time on and what's more important? Right, I'm not saying you have to be in God's word 100% of the time every single day, but damn it, do more than you're doing right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking to you, and I wasn't talking to any individual in our group. I'm not talking to anybody out there right now. I'm talking to myself, and I'm like, I'm trying so hard to try and help grown men around me that I love so much, man. Like, you guys are effing brothers. But then, and I'll try to be a good example, but then I'm like questioning myself, if you're trying to be such a good example, what are you focused on? What are you spending your time on? Are you really that committed, or are you not? And again, some of that's probably the enemy, because that's not peaceful thoughts, right?
No.
That's not stuff that God's given me.
No, and God does want you to, I feel like he does welcome question.
Sure.
But that sounds more like full-blown doubt.
Yeah.
To me, like you're doubting yourself, like you're doubting everything you're doing. Yeah. He's not going to put that in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. You're absolutely right.
He's never going to put doubt in your head.
And I know that. But it does call into question for me. I can go, okay, I can see that that's, the thief trying to steal, kill, and destroy, right?
Yeah.
I can see that. However, there's some validity there. There is some truth to what he's saying. And it does make me call into question, okay, how can I be a how can I grow more? How can I become a, more of an example, right? I have to make it look desirable to you, right? Yeah. And we're supposed to, because look, the other thing is we're not just, it's not just about this group of seven men or this
group. No, we're supposed to be fishers of men. That's everybody else outside of our group, too.
That's right, right? So what I'm giving to you and how I'm challenging myself towards you guys and asking you guys to do is for them too, the people outside of that, because you can affect people that I cannot.
Yeah.
Kevin can affect people that we cannot.
Yeah.
My dad can affect people that none of us can. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, so everybody has something to offer, but I know it has to start with the book.
Yeah.
Because that's the guide. His word, Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. It's a guide for a footpath. You know what I mean?
Psalms 119?
Psalms 119. I love it when we dig through God's word like we have today. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Psalms is a huge book, man. It's so freaking
cool. I thought you meant like 119. Like I thought
Psalms 119.
Yeah, no. So that's how I have it down as Psalms 119. Like nope. No,
it's Psalms 119.
119.
Verse 105.
What the fork?
Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. I promised it once and I'll promise it again. I will obey your righteous regulations, man. I have to be in this word. If I'm going to grow, if I'm going to change, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to change, if I'm going to advance, if I'm going to help people, I have to, right? And I'm not convicting anybody. I'm not saying, if you're not spending at least 18 minutes a day in your Bible, you're letting everybody down. I'm not saying all that crap. I'm not saying if you're not studying the Bible 24 hours a day and you're avoiding taking care of everything else in your life by paying bills and working and all that stuff. I'm not saying that. Those things are required. And God knows that too, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that you cannot enjoy time peacefully, enjoying things that you like sports and music and video games and movies and all those. You can enjoy all of that. God wants you to enjoy all of that too. But are you sacrificing? If you feel like it's a sacrifice to not watch one episode of Big Bang Theory, to read your Bible.
Why'd you have to call me out on my show?
Because I love Big Bang Theory too.
And I watch it. Every single minute that I'm awake, if I'm laying in my bed, when I'm in my bed, that's all that comes on is Big Bang Theory.
And again, I'm not questioning you. I'm just, it came to my mind because that's like that's probably 23 or 4 minutes. I'm saying, how could, if I feel like that's a sacrifice, to sacrifice not watching one episode of, okay, Terry and I love to watch American Pickers.
What's that?
They go like go to people's property and ask them if they got any cool old stuff that they can buy. You know what I mean? And they go look through their junk and find old stuff from the 30s, 40s, 50s, 20s, 60s, you know, all cars, toys, tools, all kinds of cool stuff, you know, back when Americans were American, damn it.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know, if I feel like that's a sacrifice, then my thinking is wrong. Right. I should be thinking that it's a sacrifice to not read my Bible for at least 18 minutes, you know what I mean, or one episode. But we don't think that way. So what I'm trying to do with not only our group, but anybody who chooses to listen is challenge yourself. Tell me, if you're trying to do this walk, if you're trying to go in relationship with God, with Christ, trying to understand him, please, anybody who chooses to listen to us, tell me why spending 18 minutes in your Bible a day is going to make it worse or make your life worse or harder.
It's not going to. It's going to make it 100% better. Now, okay, so
I got on a soapbox. My bad.
This could also be misconstrued because you know the closer that you get to Christ, the more the enemy attacks you. It's given.
Yep.
You know when you're not getting attacked by the enemy, you know you're doing something right. You're doing everything he wants you to do because he don't have to fight for you.
Yep.
It's the ones that he has to fight for that he's really working on.
Yep.
So reading, you know, being engaged 18 minutes a day in the Word and in your relationship with Christ and all this good stuff, of course your life is going to be better because you're going to be growing closer to God, but you're probably going to be getting more punches thrown at you.
Obviously.
More body shots.
Obviously.
You know what I mean?
Yep. But your shield, your sword,
yeah,
it's God's Word.
That we don't carry a sheath for.
That we don't carry a sheath for. But how are you gonna you don't even have a sword if you don't spend any time in it. You know what I mean? You don't even know how to use it if you don't spend time with it.
Yeah.
You gotta practice it, right?
Yeah, it's like a guitar or
anything.
Hunting or anything.
Cleaning your gun.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. I don't even know how to take my gun apart. I know red-blooded American males right now are like, what's wrong with this guy? He must be a sissy.
I can take all of them apart. If I don't pay very good attention, I'm not getting it back. I got to, like, look it up how to put it back together.
Out of 24 hours, there are 1,440 minutes.
In 24 hours?
In 24 hours, there are
1,440 minutes?
Yes. In 24 hours, there are 1,440 minutes. Because there's 60 minutes in an hour. 60 times 24 is 1,440.
Okay, hold on. Is it 1,440?
That leaves you 1,322 to do whatever else you want to do with you, or 1,432 to do whatever else you want to do with life.
1,422 to do anything else you want. Yeah. 1,422 hours.
Minutes.
Yeah. Or minutes.
Yeah.
That's like 1%.
It's not much at all, really. It's not.
That's like 1% of your day.
Yep. Yeah. So what are we talking about, man? What are we actually sacrificing? We're sacrificing 1%. We're actually sacrificing losing 1% of our day.
It's like 1.3% of our day.
Man, when you think about it like that, it really calls a lot of things into question, doesn't it? It's like, bro, 18 minutes is nothing. It's a blip on the freaking radar. You spend more, I'm telling you, you spend more of the time than that on the crapper. I guarantee it. Not just you, all of us. You spend more time than that bitching at your wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or worrying about the freaking light bill. Or cleaning up dog crap. Or name all the things, dude. You spend more time doing that than we do messing with God's Word. Not everybody. Obviously, I'm sure there's plenty of people out there that are so dedicated. But, man, I'm challenging myself. I have to do better. I have to do better. But I want the people around me to do better too, because I think that there's so much more that comes out of it, right?
Yeah.
You are a fisher of men. Tanner's a fisher of men. Mike, my dad, is a fisher of men. Kevin, Ronnie, Harley, all fishers of men. But you don't even know how to cast the line if you don't spend time in his word.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm trying to do the freaking math right. I want to know this now. I want to know this. I want to know the exact percentage of the day, what 18 minutes is.
So you want to know?
I mean, take into consideration the fact that most normal people sleep 6 to 7 hours a day, a night, seven or eight, some, you know, for me.
It is 0.0125%. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's so, 18 minutes.
Yeah.
0.0125. So it's. One and a quarter percent.
Yeah. So yeah, I was close. I said 1.3.
Yep. It's 1.25%. 1.25% of your entire day. 1.25% of your entire day.
It's bro, less I, than we spent pay on one, taxes.
By a long shot. Bro, I spent 1.25. We spent 1.25% talk of our time today talking about baseball
and NASCAR.
And NASCAR. And come on,
bro. How much I can't stand Kyle Larson.
But think about it still. We spent, you know, 98% of the time this time talking about God and trying to understand God better. And I think we struggled a little bit at first, but then, you know, I hope.
The struggle, we only had a little bit of a struggle at first because I was trying to, I had some questions that I really wanted to,
yeah,
to ask that we've missed like the past three episodes. Like they've been sitting here for 3 or 4 weeks, you know
what
I mean?
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah.
And that it's kind of selfish of me to want to push that in there, but.
Well, but sometimes hey, look, this is why guests are nice. This is why people having questions are nice. Like, yeah. It helps us to have not only content, but it gives us more to talk about, to fill time, and not only that, to give people time wisdom. To think, wisdom. This is about bumper sticker wisdom. You know, if you spend the 1 hour and maybe 8 to 15 minutes a week listening to our episodes, you've spent your 0.125%.
Yeah.
In God's word, you know what I mean? Like, come on, you know, that's not that bad.
No. You look.
And we're actually fun to listen to, damn it.
I'm not trying to beep our own horns or nothing, but beep, beep.
Beep, beep, baby. Beep, beep.
It's kind of a double-edged sword. I love to hear the show, but I hate to hear my voice.
You know what I mean? Bro, I've gotten so accustomed.
I listen to my laugh, and it's like, and I'm like, who the freaking crap is this freaking? I mean, like.
You know what's sad to me is I have like four or five
liquor.
Laughs. Lint liquor.
Who are you calling a cootie queen? You lint liquor. You remember those commercials? The Orbitz commercials?
Yes. Bro, I have like four or five laughs. That's weird to me. Like, I don't know why. Like, I've got so much.
I have a ton of laughs, but they all start and end the same. Like, it's just the middle that's different. You can clearly tell it's me because I sound like Goofy. You know what I mean?
No, get out of here, bro. Like, come on, man. Like, oh, man. Cheese and rice. I will say, I got to say this too, man. It's been just, you know, we had some vacation stuff, both of us. We tried to rearrange our schedule and stuff like that. Being off routine, being off schedule really has affected me in a not in a so positive way. Some in a positive, don't get me wrong. There's been positives in it, but I enjoyed my time with my wife and traveling and having a little bit of fun last week, but I missed this more. Yeah. You know, I missed our Monday night Bible study with our group of men, and I mean that sincerely. I love all you guys very deeply. Like, I mean, I'm ready to go to war, but I also want to equip you to fight in that war because I need you on my six. You know what I'm saying? And I don't want a weak link on my six.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I got you.
I challenge myself as well because I want to be the strongest one. I want to be the one on the front.
Yeah, I mean, in all honesty, if you look at it though, it's not. Challenge really that's cake, right. I mean, that's
right,
it's 18 minutes. I mean, I literally, I can guarantee you that I lose, you know, like when you zone out.
Oh yeah,
I lose 18 minutes of my day probably four times a day just from zoning out for a couple of seconds. You know, like I think I'm zoning out for couple seconds and I look down and it's 3:30.
It's been 8 minutes. Oh,
it's like, no, it's like I watch all the guys walk by me at break, go to the break room while I'm in there doing paperwork. Usually I'll push my stuff away from me at that point.
Yeah.
Just listen to the radio, just kind of gather my thoughts. And the next thing I know, I'll look down. It's like 3:30. I'm like, oh,
I need to go do something.
Yeah. I really hope nobody that works with me is listening to this right now, but you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's really easy to lose. I mean, just zoning out. Look at all the time that you lost. So,
and I hope that anybody who listens, and I hope none of you guys either, like, understand that. Like, I'm not I'm not convicting anybody. I'm not saying that you're a bad person if you're not there or whatever. I'm not. Start with 5 minutes. Start with 2 minutes. Whatever it takes, man. Start with something. All I know is this life is worth it if you walk it out. Yeah. It's hard.
Just try to get through one chapter.
Yep.
Even if you can only get through like three or four verses.
Start with Psalms 119. It's nice and short.
Yeah.
Hey, we got to do this for my old man, for my dad. So as we challenged each other last night, and again, not really challenged, but asked, hey, like let's work on being more committed to this. He brought up the idea that we should try to remember a verse or two, or a block of verses or two, and he wants to remember Psalms 23. So I think it only right to honor him and his idea.
1-6?
The whole thing. It's the whole chapter is only 1-6. Yep. It's a short book or a short chapter, but Psalms 23, this is for dad. So he wants to remember this, and I think if he wants it, we should all want it. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me by anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessings. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever.
That word forever.
Forever.
Forever. Yes. Forever. That means eternity.
Forever.
Like, I don't know if all y'all know how long eternity is, but it's like infinity.
You know what I mean?
It doesn't stop.
Bro, I love that last bit. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me. It pursues you. Think about that. We were talking earlier about seek the Lord wholeheartedly. Like, God is pursuing you wholeheartedly. All he's asking is for that in return.
Answer the door.
It's a reciprocal relationship, bro.
He's knocking. Answer it.
Hey, come on in, Jesus. Yeah. Let's chill.
Quit saying, give me 5 minutes. Give me a couple seconds. I'll be there in just a minute. I'll be right there. Just one minute.
Man. And I mean straight up.
It's funny how we all do that, and we're all guilty of that. I don't care who you are. Oh. We are all guilty of that.
1,000%.
But yet we don't want him to do that to us. You know what I'm saying? Like,
did you hear that elephant in the room?
We all pray for miracles and pray for these things to happen and everything.
Oh yet, boy. Ooh, when it's convenient for us.
When it's on us, but as soon as he's knocking at the door, it's like just a couple more minutes. Just give me today. Just this one time.
Yep.
Just
but whatever God, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, we're wanting from him, it's right now.
Where are you at?
Please, right now.
Where you been?
Why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why am I doing this? Why are you letting the enemy attack me? You know what I mean? But yeah, we can't even answer the door. He's standing there. We leave him standing there for, you know, I'm sure I'm guilty of leaving him standing there for multiple days in a row. Go in the bathtub.
I'm raising my hand.
Go in the shower and pray for a miracle, for something, for a sign to show me that what I'm doing is right.
Yep.
That the steps that I'm trying to make are the steps that I'm meant to be taking.
Yep.
That the career choices I'm making he's approving them, begging for signs and doing all this stuff. But then I'll go 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 days without even a single prayer of thanks. Like, hey, thank you. We live in a first world country. We have the glory of having running hot water.
Hot water.
Yeah.
Not just water.
We can take a crap in our house and not stink. We can flush it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we have dinner. We have food so easily available. Unlike these other third world countries, these people go multiple days without eating.
Bro, we have lighting options.
Yeah,
if we want a little dimmer light in this room right now, we've got stringer lights hanging up.
Yeah,
I have a light that turns on when you flip a switch. But we don't like that light. It's too bright.
My stupid fan has a remote in my living room.
Yeah.
The remote has a button. You can change the tone of the light. You can dim it, but you can make it white or like natural sunlight, like yellow light or white light. God. And you can go three different shades and fade it. So you can still dim it. Like, dude, really? What do we need that for?
Yeah, we don't. But I sure do like it.
I'm blessed beyond imagine.
Yeah.
And I still can't sacrifice 18 minutes a day. Sometimes 8 minutes in a week, 18 minutes in a week. The most interaction I'll get a lot of weeks is Bible study, podcast, and church.
Yeah.
I really hit the quad, however you'd say that. Not trifecta, but the quadfecta.
Yeah, there you go, the quadfecta.
I've really hit the quadfecta when we have our Wednesday night group.
Yeah.
It's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Yep. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
Yeah, but what am I doing on my own time when this should be my quiet time?
Yeah.
This should be my personal time.
Yep.
I should be spending time in engaging with Christ and being in my Bible or maybe some silent time in prayer.
Yeah.
Not to ask for anything, just a little bit of hey, man, thank you so much for everything that you've done for
me. Dude, we definitely have to live in a spirit of thankfulness and stop bitching and moaning about what we don't have.
Yeah, quit begging for crap that you don't need. Now, I get there are prayers where you're asking for things because you're in dire straits.
Yeah.
Whether it be health, financial. I mean,
there's a lot of people that are struggling.
Yeah, you could be going through some spiritual stuff, some mental health stuff. Like, you could be going through all kinds of things. Yes, I totally understand that.
Yeah.
But just praying that, like, your job, man, please give me a sign if this is really what I need to be doing. Yeah, and that's okay, but really, bro, you're first world problems, huh?
Do everything you do as if you're in service of the Lord, not of men, right? Yeah. And that's the call right there that you're talking about. I want you to be careful, though, because you're starting to convict yourself a little bit. It's the same way I was earlier, and that enemy is digging into your head because you are doing. It may not be, and I think that there's both, right? If it's not bringing you peace, then that's not from God, right? But I also think there is a sliver of truth there that, hey, could I be doing more? Could I be doing better? There's nothing wrong with thinking that. If it damages you and it damages your relationship and it sends you into a spirit of depression or anxiety or anything like that, you're on the wrong track. That's not what we're trying to do here. What we are trying to do is, in order for us to grow, we have to be pushed beyond our boundaries. And so we want to be pushed. I want to push myself beyond my boundaries. And I promise you and everybody who's listening here, I never bring anything to this table or to our table in men's group that I'm not pushing myself with too. Yeah. I'm pushing my boundaries the same way.
Yeah.
And so I am questioning myself and saying, what are you going to do, John? You see the issue. Now what are you going to do with it? It's great to have knowledge. It's great to have it. But what are you going to do with it now that you have it? Right? Yeah. We have just discovered that 18 minutes is 0.0125% of a day.
Yeah.
I don't think that that's that much to sacrifice.
So when you talk about you're talking about pushing the boundaries.
Yeah.
Like to sacrifice, like pushing the boundaries to sacrifice, whatever. How do you think that would translate like into this 18 minutes a day or whatever? Mm-hmm. If you actually gave it, let's say 10%, what I'm saying, not like 10% of the day, you know, like if you really figure out what you,
what you're kind of putting into it at 18 minutes, you know, it's 1.25% of the
one
day.
And a quarter percent.
Yep. Yeah.
Of the day.
Of the day. Which is like you're not giving 10% of yourself to it at all. Like,
right.
You're probably giving less than that of your actual self. I mean, if you consider the fact that you're giving 1.25% of the day to be in the Word, how much of yourself
are you giving?
Are you giving?
Yeah, that's your question.
You see what I'm saying? It's nowhere close.
Well, because it can't be lip service, right? No, it's got to be real.
Even if you just gave if you gave 10% of yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10% of like truly yourself, not just your time, but yourself. 10% of yourself a day, just for one day. Just try it one day. 10% of yourself. Into your relationship and into the Word.
10% of yourself, man. And
because I'm not talking about your time, I'm actually talking about like your heart,
your
true heart, your thoughts,
yeah,
your actions, your everything about you. Just dedicate 10% of yourself.
I think that I would be about 8% better than I am right now.
I mean,
I'm not lying.
I don't even know that I could say I give 1% of myself a day.
Yeah.
You know, your actions.
Yeah. You're choosing to be love instead of being angry. Choosing to have joy instead
patience instead of impatience. Kind instead of angry. Be care. Like you have all these people around you that you impact every day.
Right.
Love them like you love yourself. You know what I mean? Like,
and it can't be fake love.
No.
Right. It can't be.
Love is patient. Love is kind.
We got to do it now because, and it's First Corinthians 13:4-8. 1 Corinthians. Look, we're asking, how do you give 10%? And look, we're talking a moment by moment thing, right? You can't just go, well, 10% of the day, I'm going to be patient, kind, and all that stuff. Yeah, I'm talking about 10% of your opportunities are far better than you're doing right now, far better than I'm doing right now. So love is patient. It's kind. It doesn't envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. Ooh, it keeps no record of wrongs. Lies. I do all of that.
Yeah.
Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always perseveres. Love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. But where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. And look, you stop at love never fails. Everything beyond that is just saying the stuff of this life, the stuff of this earth, it's all going to go away at some point is what he's talking about. You're really kind of talking about what we have talked about in men's group and in this podcast many, many, many times about, man, you're not going to get it 100% right.
Yeah.
Right. But, man, focus on being 1% better than yesterday, a one-degree shift, right? Yeah. A one-degree shift over 100 miles is very large distance.
You may end up 15 miles from your destination, you know what I mean?
Yeah. When I have an opportunity to be patient, instead of losing my patience and being impatient, be patient. When I have an opportunity to be kind instead of being, well, not kind, be kind. Instead of having... Go ahead. You want to point something out.
Well, no. Finish, because I don't know if I'm going to be able, if I'm not going to butcher this. So
you're not going to butcher this.
I don't want to lose this part of the conversation.
Being jealous. Instead of being jealous, you know, being happy for somebody.
Yeah.
Right? Bro, I can't tell you how hard it is sometimes to see somebody that you've either mentored or helped and see them go beyond you and be like, man, that's, why is that not me?
Yeah.
No, that's envy. That's jealousy.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm happy for you. And you know what? I need people to, we have to understand it. I want you to know that I am for you. I'm pulling for you. I don't care. I don't care how far you get. I want you to get there, right? Yeah. That's what we're talking about. It's not boastful or proud. I'm not proud of myself. You know what I mean? Like, it proud meaning like elevating yourself above others. There's a whole lot there, a whole lot of opportunities in our day that we face every single day where we could be a little bit better.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking about. And I think that's, you're never going to get 100%, bro.
No, but even if you can only practice one of those a day, that'll lead to two or three a day.
Yeah.
So like if once a day, you're patient.
Yep.
Once a day, you're patient, kind, not envious.
Yeah.
Not boastful, not proud.
Not quick to anger.
Not quick to anger. Just once a day.
Yeah.
You inherit all those.
Yep.
Next thing you know, it's going to be twice a day.
And then three.
Next time you know, it's going to be three times a day.
And then four.
Yeah, just if five. You just try to focus on, man, just once a day, I need to hit all of these. I need to put a thumbtack in all of these at least once a day.
Yep.
It's going to get easier. It always does. It every time you practice something, it gets easy. This is you're practicing.
Yeah. And you know, bro, what I mean? This concept of a 100 has circled itself around and around and around in this conversation.
Yeah.
This all started with the idea of 18 minutes in a day.
Yeah.
Bro, a 300 hitter in baseball is a Hall of Famer. That's 3 out of 10. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. That's 30 out of 100 opportunities that you got it right.
Yeah.
Think about that. You know what I mean? And look, this is not baseball. But God's not requiring you to be perfect, man. He's not requiring you to bat 999. And if you don't bat 1,000, you're out. That's not how this works. It's about your level of commitment. How hard are you pursuing me?
The price is already paid.
All
we're doing right now is just, are we going to be in the bottom deck or are we going to be in the grandstands?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Are we going to sit behind home plate?
Yeah. Are we going to be sitting in the sun in the old Arlington Stadium?
Ooh, in September.
107-degree weather. Feeling like our skin's getting cooked off our face.
Sweat rolling down the crack of your rear end.
Yeah. Down the front of my back.
And I think, again, I love this, and I think this has turned into a fantastic conversation, and that I hope that anybody who listens gets truly, truly encouraged and motivated. That's what I'm hoping for. I want you to be motivated to just make your 1 degree shift every day, spend more time in His Word, lean in, and engage with us, and let us be a part of it, and help us to be better. Well, it's been 2 weeks. Actually, it's been 3 weeks. You didn't share a dad joke the last time we got together. It was Aiden.
I know.
It's your turn.
Yeah, this one's going to be kind of stupid, but still.
Let's do it.
I was interrogated by a stolen cheese toastie. They really grilled me.
It wasn't as bad as Tanner's. Newlywebs.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, man. I think he just went he just went with the easiest one, first one he could find.
Yeah.
I went searching for some more bumper sticker wisdom. Interesting that this kind of happens to be what I opened up to today. Ralph Ellison. It takes a deep commitment to change. And an even deeper commitment to grow.
Oof.
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 That's
a really good one.
I think it just kind of goes in line with what we were talking about, really. Like, I mean, all we need to focus on is just a little bit of commitment and pushing ourselves a little bit outside of our little comfortable box.
Yeah.
And be better.
Man, if you've ever like done something that's really uncomfortable, but you know you have to.
Yeah.
Like for me, it's been here lately. It's really been. So I have a grandchild. It's going to be born
soon.
Here. They are going to induce her on the 21st, or do a C-section, whatever.
So one of the most uncomfortable things in the world for me is to really push myself to try to like communicate with her and daily. I'm talking about daily. Like, I'm like, hey, how are you? And like, be sympathetic, because I'm not very good at that.
Right.
It's really hard to do. Very uncomfortable doing it, but I've been pushing myself to do it. Yep. So now when I get like when I get done talking to her or texting her or whatever, it's like, oof, that was easy. You know what I mean? Right. Have you ever had that though? Yeah. Like, you don't want to, but after you make yourself, it's like, huh.
Yeah. Well, you know, you were preaching to the choir, my boy. Like, yeah. I mean, the first time we put our faces on TikTok, the first time I put a poem out.
One of your poems, some of your poetry on TikTok. Yeah. Read it out loud to the camera.
Yep. To the camera.
Yeah. It was only you on there. You didn't see my ugly mug. You was all by yourself.
It was scary. And now it's kind of like, that wasn't that bad, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get any negative feedback from that, which is awesome. That's not been. Hey, man.
Really?
Come on, Batman. Beltray, you going to flap your ears in the wind like that? Come on, man.
He's like, let me out.
He is, too.
Oh. Yeah, I'm going to be in trouble when I get home.
That was really hard, but it was beautiful. And I think that the people that didn't interact with it did get something out of it. And again, it's the first time in my life that I had zero negative feedback. It was really kind of strange for me, but
yeah.
This has been fun. I missed you, bro. I missed this a lot.
Yeah, it's been 2 weeks.
Yeah, it feels like it's been months. Honestly, it really does. But here we are, and it's like it never stopped.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Hey. Prisoners need Bibles, by the way.
Yeah.
Just so you know, that ad
popped
up.
We really have been talking about trying to somehow incorporate that. Tanner is very, very passionate about trying to get that going. So
he's a brother who's formerly incarcerated, who's trying to submit himself to the Lord and just living life best he possibly can day by day. He is passionate about getting Bibles into prisons. So Prison Fellowship, you guys go out there, give to that. If you want, we have some stickers. They're about 3 inches. It's basically our logo that you see.
I don't know whose wife told you that was 3 inches, but my wife tells me that's 9 inches.
Well, I promise you it wasn't my wife that was telling me that either. Woo. Son of a gun. Anyway.
TMI, sorry.
They're roughly 3 inches, let's just say. It's 3 man inches. It's our logo. It does have our Spotify code. What do you call that?
Our Spotify code, like our QR Spotify code
scan code, that where you can find us easily on Spotify. If anybody wants them, they're $3. Hit us up through our Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, even, and we have an email, bswunbound80@gmail.com. You can catch us on all the platforms that we've mentioned in previous times. I don't want to run through them, but you know, Amazon,
Apple,
RSS.com, YouTube.
TikTok, others.
And hey, if you have suggestions or questions or things you want us to talk about, please
give us a shout, man. Yeah. Like, help us out. Like,
we have one anonymous follower that hits us up pretty consistently, recently hit us up. Very, very thankful to him, because he didn't ask us any questions this time, but gave us a ton of encouragement. And it always feels good when somebody's out there saying, hey, man, keep doing it. So, for Bumper Sticker Wisdom,
I'm Jason.
And I'm John. We love you.